Test 3 Listening, Part 3. You'll hear part of a radio interview in which a wildlife photographer called Adam Wright talks about his life. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute to look at Part 3.
Good afternoon, Adam. You're one of the country's most successful professional photographers. Yet, unlike some professional photographers, you keep yourself open and accessible to the amateur photography community. Why is this relationship important to you?
The simplest reason is that I was an amateur photographer myself 10 years ago and remember what it was like. I struggled to get help on the simplest topics, and a couple of well-established wildlife pros at the time were pretty rude and nasty to me. I vowed never to be like that and to remain accessible, which is one reason I now run workshops. Financially, I don't need to, and sometimes they occur right in the middle of a project, but I just get satisfaction from helping other photographers expand their photographic horizons.
You often talk about professional ethics in wildlife photography. What exactly do you mean by this?
Well, simply that some photographers seem to think it's more important to get the shot rather than the actual process of taking it. But I don't consider this honest. Wildlife photography, for me, is first and foremost a way of getting close to wildlife. It's not about the equipment or what software you use or anything else. This means you have a responsibility to what you're photographing that far transcends any technical considerations that you might have. After all, the camera won't abandon its nest if you get too close and disturb it. It's all about respect, whether you're taking pictures of animals in the wild or in captivity.
How do you see the balance between field craft, or knowing about wildlife, and being able to take a technically perfect picture?
Well, the technical element rarely counts for anything, as most modern cameras are pretty simple to operate. Unfortunately, however, fieldcraft seems to be a dying art, as there are so many magazine articles these days on using software to enhance your photos, which is, in my book, an inappropriate way to approach wildlife photography. Yet, there are occasional photographers I meet who have absolutely stunning pictures that clearly show they've spent ages becoming expert in their own areas of fieldcraft. One guy I met last year had the most amazing birds of prey collection. He clearly loved photographing them. That's, of course, the key to everything.
When you're intending to photograph a specific animal, how do you usually prepare?
I treat everything as a project and never just rush in. Take the great crested grebes that I worked on this summer as an example. I spent about 6 weeks watching them, working out what would cause them to be scared and exactly how I could get close enough to get a decent shot. When they were on the nest, I observed them from a long way away, as I wanted to ensure that there was no chance that I caused any disturbance at the nest. My only possible vantage point was to sit in 3 foot of freezing cold water under a dense thorn bush. There was nothing I could wear that would completely stop me from getting scratched to pieces and frozen solid after each shoot, but I always came out smiling.
You were an early adopter of digital photography where many professionals were slow to take to it. Why was that?
Oh, that's simple. I was spending tens of thousands a year on slide film, developing and creating high-quality 70mm duplicates for my network of agents worldwide. This could have been better spent on my travel. So I quickly saw that using digital equipment would save me a packet and allow me to channel the money elsewhere. All I needed to do was to be convinced of the quality, which I pretty soon was.
You recently received two awards in a prestigious wildlife photography competition. What do you feel sets your work apart from other people's?
The competition is all luck. I know many photographers who enter several great images into competitions and get nowhere. Conversely, some lucky people enter one image and get placed. So it's a lottery in any competition. My style is not that unique. I just take pictures of beautiful things. It's as simple as that. I must say, I have a particular fondness for the photos that won. I hadn't really set out with a certain image in mind. I just made the most of an amazing opportunity that presented itself. Nature did the rest. So I'm not sure that I deserved to win. But the prize money comes in handy, of course, even though it's not a lot.
Now you'll hear part three again.
Good afternoon, Adam. You're one of the country's most successful professional photographers. Yet, unlike some professional photographers, you keep yourself open and accessible to the amateur photography community. Why is this relationship important to you?
The simplest reason is that I was an amateur photographer myself 10 years ago and remember what it was like. I struggled to get help on the simplest topics, and a couple of well-established wildlife pros at the time were pretty rude and nasty to me. I vowed never to be like that and to remain accessible, which is one reason I now run workshops. Financially, I don't need to, and sometimes they occur right in the middle of a project, but I just get satisfaction from helping other photographers expand their photographic horizons.
You often talk about professional ethics in wildlife photography. What exactly do you mean by this?
Well, simply that some photographers seem to think it's more important to get the shot rather than the actual process of taking it. But I don't consider this honest. Wildlife photography, for me, is first and foremost a way of getting close to wildlife. It's not about the equipment or what software you use or anything else. This means you have a responsibility to what you're photographing that far transcends any technical considerations that you might have. After all, the camera won't abandon its nest if you get too close and disturb it. It's all about respect, whether you're taking pictures of animals in the wild or in captivity.
How do you see the balance between field craft, or knowing about wildlife, and being able to take a technically perfect picture?
Well, the technical element rarely counts for anything, as most modern cameras are pretty simple to operate. Unfortunately, however, fieldcraft seems to be a dying art, as there are so many magazine articles these days on using software to enhance your photos, which is, in my book, an inappropriate way to approach wildlife photography. Yet, there are occasional photographers I meet who have absolutely stunning pictures that clearly show they've spent ages becoming expert in their own areas of fieldcraft. One guy I met last year had the most amazing birds of prey collection. He clearly loved photographing them. That's, of course, the key to everything.
When you're intending to photograph a specific animal, how do you usually prepare?
I treat everything as a project and never just rush in. Take the great crested grebes that I worked on this summer as an example. I spent about 6 weeks watching them, working out what would cause them to be scared and exactly how I could get close enough to get a decent shot. When they were on the nest, I observed them from a long way away, as I wanted to ensure that there was no chance that I caused any disturbance at the nest. My only possible vantage point was to sit in 3 foot of freezing cold water under a dense thorn bush. There was nothing I could wear that would completely stop me from getting scratched to pieces and frozen solid after each shoot, but I always came out smiling.
You were an early adopter of digital photography where many professionals were slow to take to it. Why was that?
Oh, that's simple. I was spending tens of thousands a year on slide film, developing and creating high-quality 70mm duplicates for my network of agents worldwide. This could have been better spent on my travel. So I quickly saw that using digital equipment would save me a packet and allow me to channel the money elsewhere. All I needed to do was to be convinced of the quality, which I pretty soon was.
You recently received two awards in a prestigious wildlife photography competition. What do you feel sets your work apart from other people's?
The competition is all luck. I know many photographers who enter several great images into competitions and get nowhere. Conversely, some lucky people enter one image and get placed. So it's a lottery in any competition. My style is not that unique. I just take pictures of beautiful things. It's as simple as that. I must say, I have a particular fondness for the photos that won. I hadn't really set out with a certain image in mind. I just made the most of an amazing opportunity that presented itself. Nature did the rest. So I'm not sure that I deserved to win. But the prize money comes in handy, of course, even though it's not a lot.
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.